And tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. I took a train to Richmond that fell. It was a time I remember her oh so well. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing. They went na 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 na. Studio audience should sing along on the na 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 na. It's not very difficult, okay? Back with my wife in Tennessee, and one day she said to me, Virgil, quick, come see, there goes Robert E. Lee. Now I don't mind them chopping wood, and I don't care if the money's no good. Just take what you need and leave the rest, but they should never have taken the very best. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing. They went na 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 na.
Hello, this is Miss Confederate. I'm here to talk to you again today about another topic related to Southern history that I feel is very important. And I hope you enjoyed Joan Baez singing The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. I happen to love that song. It tells such a nice story. And she does a great job with it, too. Anyway, it's a nice song. But today, I want to talk a little bit about a topic called Greensboro, North Carolina's Unknown Soldiers. In Greensboro, North Carolina, which is sort of in the middle of the state, if you're not familiar with North Carolina, there is a public cemetery. It is the oldest city-owned cemetery in that particular city. And I believe it was officially opened as a city cemetery in 1877. As of now, there are roughly 19,000 souls that are buried in this cemetery. So it's a very large cemetery. But I want to talk about a particular group. Among those who are resting there are 300 Confederate soldiers, most of whose identities are not even known. Because during the awful trials and tribulations of war, records were either poorly kept or perhaps lost. On that spot where the Confederate soldiers are commemorated, the 300 Confederate soldiers who are buried there, has stood a monument. And the monument was basically a common Confederate soldier, but it also had on it, it stated the unknown soldier. So this was to commemorate those 300 soldiers that had died, that we're not familiar with all of their names. But at any rate, in June of 2020, and through the years, various groups have been involved in producing the monument that was there, and the base of the monument, and the whole area, which has some brick pavers there with names on them. And it's a circular area where this monument stood, and the United Daughters of Confederacy haven't been involved in that, Greensboro Ladies Memorial Association prior to that, and other Sons of Confederate veterans in more recent years have gone in and added to that area to make it a nice memorial to those soldiers. But I want to speak about the fact that in June of 2020, after George Floyd was wrongfully killed in Minneapolis, and we all remember that time and how there were uprisings across the United States and various cities and lots of rioting and property destruction and much going on. But at that time, the Greensboro Soldiers Memorial Monument was vandalized. It was torn down from its post in that city cemetery where it stood. It had been in place over 100 years as a reminder of those dead soldiers who were buried there. And they made a decision at that point to not return the statue to that spot. So it is somewhere in at the present time hidden away. I just wanted to speak to this situation. And I want to start out by mentioning a few things about a little bit of information about the life of a soldier. In the podcast that comes before this one, one of the podcasts recently, it describes what it was like from the journal of a drummer boy. And so if you listen to that, you'll get even more details. But I just wanted to briefly hit upon a few things about the life of a soldier, especially back in that time period, which would have been just considering how many miles were walked. As a matter of fact, that drummer boy said in 1 year they walked 1,439 miles. Then there was heat, sometimes extreme. There was snow and ice and frost, sometimes extreme, cold. There was camping out along the way, in tents if they were lucky. At some points, they would have just been camping in the among the trees or in the grass, wherever they happened to be, particularly if there were battles going on. And they didn't have time to put out tents. In the midst of it all, there were certainly thousands of bugs, which back then they didn't even have bug repellent, not to mention bees, mosquitoes, great varieties of bugs. Later on, there came lice, slim to no food. There would have been snakes. There would have been sometimes perhaps even wild animals such as bears or who knows what they would have run into. But this was the life of a soldier back then. From the history.net on the internet, we learned that while the majority of Civil War soldiers were between the ages of 18 and 39 years old, which actually that doesn't cover it all, because I know in later, the last year of the war, there were last little over a year and a half, almost a year and a half, there were soldiers as young as 15 years old who were drafted, as well as all the way up to their, all the way to 50. I have ancestors, relatives on both ends of that. That's why I know. But at any rate, if the average Civil War soldier was somewhere between the ages of 18 and 39, the actual average age of a soldier was only 26 years old. Most of them were farmers before the war, although there were other various professional people. The North lost approximately 110 soldiers in battle. The South lost approximately 95,000. However, disease took at least 360,000 more men. There were no antibiotics. There were very unsterile conditions. There was battlefield conditions where we are aware that legs had to be removed and horrific wounds from cannonballs and sabers and who knows what all. So it was a very sad situation, especially at that time. But any war is going to be terrible like that, whether it's now or whether it was then. They do have antibiotics now to help. Even in more recent times, a Vietnam War-era soldier from North Carolina reported on Facebook recently in an article that I read that they made about $3 a day in Vietnam when he was there, and he described how it was 24-hour duty in horrible conditions in which little men in silk pajamas came running over, running around trying to kill him. But it's not funny from what he said. There was nothing funny about it. Civil War soldiers fared much worse than even the Vietnam era soldiers. They went for months without pay. But then where could they spend it anyway? There was nowhere to spend it. One Union drummer boy, the one I mentioned, William Bercher of Minnesota, kept a log, actual log, and reported in his journal that his regiment walked 1,493 miles in 1 year. Most of that time without shoes, as they wore out quickly. He particularly mentioned that he wrapped his bleeding feet with pieces of his own clothing, which soon also wore out. So it was an awful situation. And if you've seen the movie Gettysburg, you'll know that, I believe it was in there, but I know that I'm aware that they went into the town of Gettysburg. The Confederate soldiers went in because they heard they had a place where they made shoes. So they were desperately looking for shoes. So we now know how awful it was for these soldiers. So how do we feel, how are we supposed to feel about these soldiers and whether they deserve a marker for public inspection? I'm first of all going to mention the fact that if you are a descendant of a Southern black family, keeping in mind that many black people who now live in the South are not descendants of Southern black families. They are from various places across the world, such as Africa, Jamaica, Bahamas, or even from northern or western places, not necessarily the descendant of Southern black families. But if you are a descendant of a Southern black family, you may see that the monument is a reminder only of a time of oppression when your ancestors may have been one of the enslaved, which is an awful and horrible institution that was the focus of the Civil War. What a reminder it was to us and to area blacks, if you are a black descendant, what a reminder this is if you happen to see one of these monuments, of a time of sad and inhuman oppression, which was allowed in the South, and some other northern areas were involved also, such as the shipping boats that came mainly out of the New York Harbor to go pick up black people who were enslaved. Thank God that it was overturned and the wrong was made right and slavery was removed. It was an institution that was largely a function of the richest people of the South who were set up in business here, sometimes by their colonial area as governors and so forth, by the British who, like our modern capitalists, go overseas to other countries and set up shop in their areas and try to make money. And this was a awful way that it happened. So I would say that in the case of this particular statue in the Green Hill Cemetery, though, it's not that those descendants of the black slaves would be coming through that cemetery very often and would even see that particular statue. It's not even on public display somewhere. It's in a cemetery. If we are a relative or descendant of one of the Greensboro Confederate soldiers that are buried at Green Hill Cemetery, however, we may see the monument differently as a memorial to these young men who died there so tragically. And they were in their own form of slavery, these young men were. They were that of a drafted soldier, the one human with the least real rights of anyone on earth is a soldier. Especially a soldier who was drafted and forced to go to war. In this particular war, soldiers were actually executed if they did not comply with orders to fight, no matter if they believed in slavery or if they did not. We know from records, and I particularly have well, relatives, not ancestors, but relatives who actually were executed at this time period, because of the situation, even having already fought in the war for over a year, they were still executed. Not because they left, but because they left to find food, and they claimed that they were just searching for food after Gettysburg. But anyway, the point is, if anyone out there on this earth has fewer rights than anyone else, soldiers, I think, would fall into that category. Some of them do get paid some money, yes, and some of them have very, very good jobs these days. But your common infantry soldier now, in a war situation, has fewer rights than any person on earth. And are they slaves? Yes, they are slaves with a gun who are forced to put their lives on the line, regardless of what they think. By far, most slaves in the South were owned by the rich on plantations, as I mentioned, but the common soldier was made to fight the battle, even though 90% of them did not own slaves. And they died daily. I would like to enter a psalm here, Psalm 17:13, which says, "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword." The Southern soldiers who died in an awful conflict must have asked God, as did King David in this psalm in prayer, to, quote, "deliver my soul from the wicked," as they faced death on the battlefield or in a hospital. If their body could not be delivered, at least they would have prayed for their souls to be delivered. And surely those who knew God said in their hearts, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me." From Psalm 23. It's hard to even imagine what these soldiers went through, especially those who were injured and wounded and then later on died from terrible wounds. Are we able to let these poor souls lie at peace now, the 300 soldiers in Greensboro who are in their graves? It is certain there is much unfair unbearable anger and hatred against Southern soldiers. Men today who have never served especially have little understanding for men who have been forced to fight a war, no matter what they believed. Certainly people in society cannot seem to understand how difficult that was. So forgiveness is something that we are required as Christians to try. We've been told in Scripture to try to forgive our brother. We also, though, should realize that there really is no reason to oppose the placement of some symbol over these soldiers to mark their graves. And it is actually a travesty if we allow it to go unmarked. How horrible it is that someone should take down a grave marker, a memorial to men who died in a terrible, terrible war. To have a mass grave of 300 men in the middle of a major city and have it unmarked because of misconceptions, misunderstandings, and even if you believe these men were wrong and for whatever reason think that they had a choice, which I disagree. But even if you believe that, still, these are fallen dead people. This is a mass grave. And no one on this earth should have to endure having a grave that is not marked in some way, especially a mass grave that shows it stands for so many deaths and so many people that are involved. This is certainly a tragedy, and it's certainly one that needs to be addressed in some manner. I propose that there be a cross placed over the graves of these Confederate dead soldiers. It could be a large enough cross to commemorate the fact that this is a mass grave, not just one small cross, like you would find on the grave of one soldier at a national cemetery. It needs to be a little larger than that. But I do propose there be a cross put over these graves. I believe these people, these men who are lying there, need to be remembered. They need to be remembered in the fact that they are human beings who suffered and who died, and they need to be allowed to rest in peace and not be, and not have their souls wander there, knowing that no one on earth cares. No one minds if they are being abused or misunderstood, or just the fact that they are a mass of dead people that should be remembered. Even a common murderer can have a cross on his grave. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers now have crosses on their graves, both in America and in foreign lands. You've no doubt seen the pictures of the graves, the national service graves at national cemeteries, line where crosses line the graves. America was the home of these men. They're not from some foreign land. They are part of this nation. Their fathers and their grandfathers fought in the Revolutionary War. They were pioneers in these lands. They helped to make America what it was, to fight off a variety of foes, such as the British Army, twice, to face down Indians in woods and jungles and bears and a variety of diseases and all kinds of horrible situations having come across the boat. These are the fathers and the on the boat from usually from Europe. These are the fathers and the grandfathers of these men. And most of those pioneers who came across here were fleeing from persecution of their own in the old world. So it's not like they were came over here with the idea of having slaves, because the majority of them were just dirt farmers and they were refugees from foreign lands where they were in their own poverty. I just want to mention the Bible speaks something of markers. Most often it talks about markers in places where God spoke to his people, such as with Jacob there several times and Joshua. But in 2 Samuel 18, verse 18, we learn that Abraham placed a marker himself, a pillar for himself, it says, the scripture states. Abraham, it says, in 18, chapter 18, 2 Samuel, verse 18, it says, Abraham set up a pillar in the king's valley, saying, quote, I have no son to preserve my name. So he named the pillar after his own name, and it's called Abraham's Monument to this day. So even the Bible recognizes that markers sometimes go in place for various reasons and that they are important for posterity, for remembrances. That doesn't mean they're important to remember white supremacy, because a memorial marker is not to promote white supremacy. It is to recognize that the men who served at war did so with a duty and a requirement to fight, and that they suffered and in this case died. Many of them died in battle, and recognizing that some of those men were as young as 15 years old, and how awful it is to send a child into a battle to fight as a man in a situation that he's not fought before and not been around. It was a terrible time. It was an awful time. It was a time in which, luckily, slavery was removed from our area. And we understand now that even if you're a descendant of the Confederate soldiers, you also recognize that slavery being such a terrible option, it's not something we want to place on any kind of pedestal, just the opposite. It's a situation where slavery is an awful thing, and that people who faced it, no matter what color, should not be have to be subject to that or to be mistreated in any other way. So I'm going to end this podcast by letting you hear the remainder of Joan Baez's song, the night they drove old Dixie down. Let you hear the rest of it and understand the remaining words of her song. And I hope you like it. I hope you enjoy it. Tune in for the next Miss Confederate podcast, and I'll be continuing to talk about a lot of different subjects. I think there's a couple coming up. One is the Enfield mayor took down a statue in North Carolina that I want to delve into and the appropriateness of his actions. And also an update on the Gastonia statue and the involvement of our governor in North Carolina in that process in a questionable manner. And also a little side topic being a town in North Carolina that has come to our attention where a number of houses are going to be torn down to make way for a Vietnamese plant, auto making plant for electric vehicles. And I will update on that too. In the meantime, here's the remainder of Joan Baez, and I hope you enjoy it.
Like my father before me, I'm a working man. And like my brother before me, I took a rebel stand. Well, he was just 18, proud and brave, but a Yankee laid him in his grave. I swear by the blood below my feet, you can't raise a cane back up when it's in defeat. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing. They went na 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 na.
If you want to be involved in this project in any way to do with the getting a cross put up in Greensboro, I encourage you to contact me. I have a nonprofit organization and plan to raise funds for this, donations to purchase a cross of some type. So I encourage you to contact me. This is Miss Confederate. You can contact me at godslisarue@aol.com, godslisaru@aol.com. You can write to 7101 London Town Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. I do encourage you to contact me, and I will be contacting many people in the future trying to get them involved in this project and see if they would like to make some small contributions, because small contributions can add up to big projects and fulfill big dreams. So let's see what we can do for these soldiers. And I encourage you to, like I say, get in touch with me. If you have ideas, that's great too. I look forward to hearing from you one way or another. GodsLisaRue@AOL.com. Be blessed. Have a great night, great day, or whatever time of the day it is that you're listening to this. And know that just because you're a supporter of the South or you're a Southerner, that you have value in this world. Our dead soldiers have value, and our people today have value. We are not white trash. We are real people with real goals, ideas, intelligence, and action. Thank you. Have a good evening.